Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Roger Murphy, and I'm the host of Freedom from Fibromyalgia Summit. I'd like to welcome Dr. Isaac Elias. So Dr. Elias is getting to be a not only a colleague, but a friend. We've appeared on some podcasts and some summits in the past here recently in the past few months, and really love his work. I'm going to read you a little bit about his bio so I don't miss anything, but Dr. Elias is a leading expert in the field of integrative medicine, specializing in cancer, detoxification, immunity, and complex medical conditions. He's a respected researcher, physician researcher. He's a best-selling author and educator and mind-body practitioner. And a little bit about, we're going to talk a little bit about his book. I want to make sure I mention that. We get at that. The Survival Paradox. I want to make sure I mention that. And he's the co-author of studies on integrative therapies for cancer, heavy metal toxicity, and others, and worked with the NIH, with partners at the National Institute of Health, and Columbia, and others. So there's your bio goes on and on, but that's good enough. No, welcome kidding. To the summit. I'm always delighted to get a chance to pick your brain about, you know, what's going on in the research world, and in particularly what's going on, what you're seeing with fibromyalgia and some of these underlying triggers that are creating these symptoms that we see with fibromyalgia. So welcome to the summit.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's such an important topic and something I was interested in actually very early in my career, in my late 20s, when this was starting to appear, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and it was really not appreciated, recognized and doubted, you know, by the doubters. So now, of course, everybody understands the importance of this condition, how many people it affects. And so I'm delighted to actually speak in this summit.
Yeah, I've got a list of questions here that I wrote down, make sure that we cover, but I'm gonna throw you a little bit of a curve and ask you this. Why do you think we still have so many physicians that doubt the existence of fibromyalgia?
It's a good question. I think there are less. It's, medicine is driven by putting people in boxes. And the fibromyalgia is not such an easy box to put in because some people it's a viral, some people it's toxin, some people it's trauma, some people it's inefficient energy pathways. And so whenever you have a condition that doesn't, not easy to put in a box, and actually that's what life is about, as you and I know, then there is either resistance or skepticism or fear of what we don't know. And definitely the fibromyalgia community is one community that really paid the price, as you know so well, you do so much work in it, really being under-recognized and not valued and labeled like, oh, you have a psychological problem. It's insane. And really wonderful people, often very sensitive, you know, very sweet, very sensitive, so sensitive to energy changes. And so it's quite a journey. I think we are at a much better place where, you know, I can tell you, looking 40 years back, you would think twice even about mentioning the name or doing a summit about it, you know. So definitely we're in a different place, but there are good solutions.
So. Yeah. So you mentioned that fibromyalgia is an illness with different triggers. One person's fibromyalgia is different than the next person. I mean, there's some commonalities for sure.
Right.
But unlike a lot of diseases, we have to realize that fibromyalgia, since it's a syndrome, it's really just a name given to describe these different symptoms that people have in common. But there's no one smoking gun. I mean, it can be different things that bring this condition on, right?
Of course. Yeah. And that's part of really understanding and treating fibromyalgia is understanding the person who has fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
And in principle, for me, I always treat the person, never treat a disease. You know, once I was working with one of my doctors and somebody called, they had a lung transplant and I think another transplant and some other disease. And they asked me, can you see them? I said to them, yes. The other doctor asked me, how can you see them? It's so complex. I told them, I'm not treating the disease, I'm treating the person. Yeah. Once I understand the person, I'll know how to treat them. And so fibromyalgia falls into this category, and within it, it's fascinating. I don't want to go like on tangent, but there are certain points that are less discussed about fibromyalgia, you know, the ability of keeping sustainable energy on the long term, on a short term, and the cost on the long term, you know. Yeah. So we know it energetically in Chinese medicine, but now we know it much more in Western medicine with the whole issue of mitochondrial function and normal energy production and efficient energy production. Yeah. So yeah, it's a disease that causes pain, that causes limitation. And one condition that really can transform remarkably, it's one of these syndromes, condition, whatever you want to call it, that can really change dramatically, sometime very quickly.
So I want to ask you here in just a moment, but I got to set this up. I want to ask you about your book and the whole survival paradox, because to me I've said this on a summit here recently in a podcast we did together. It was, and I've been treating fibromyalgia 22 years. It was a game changer for me with this new paradigm. And part of it comes down to, you know, the fibromyalgia patient, oftentimes they go from doctor to doctor. They kind of get on the medical merry-go-round. And it can take, you know, 7-8 years before they finally get the diagnosis. Now that's changed, you know, thankfully it's changed. But oftentimes they see, you know, one doctor after the next, and sometimes they're kind of made to feel like they're either lazy, crazy, or just hypochondriac. But eventually they get the diagnosis. So they get this rubber stamp on their forehead that says fibromyalgia. Now we've got a label, so we can put an ICD code on there and bill insurance. But, you know, a lot of times patients will finally get this diagnosis, and it's a sigh of relief. Finally, somebody's telling me what I've got. Now, what do you do for it? And then they get, well, you're just going to have to learn to live with it. And, yeah, you know, that's where we're at in traditional medicine anyway, you know, and even in some cases, functional medicine practitioners are telling them that.
It's a great point, because first, by being labeled and recognized, it's like, okay, people are taking me seriously. But by being labeled, you're also being fixated on a condition, instead of just looking at things as you got certain symptoms. Today they are here, tomorrow they can go away. Yeah. And it's very important, because fibromyalgia has a very big connection to flow. And I'll talk about it a bit later. But yeah, Talking about the survival paradox, which is a new paradigm that I introduce, that really recognizes that we are innately built to survive, every cell in our body. Mm-hmm. And as such, we want to develop in a healthy way. And then we want to repair any danger to our life. And because it's innate in us, it's automated through the nervous system, through the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic system, driving fighting, which equates to inflammation, cytokine storm that affects fibromyalgia very deeply, inappropriate sometimes. And or we hide, we run away, we create a microenvironment, a shield that leads to fibrosis, to organ dysfunction, and leads to rigidity. You know, fibrous tissue are very rigid, they're not alive anymore. You know, and trigger point in many levels, you know, resembles some of this. And so we have this automated response, and we can try to balance it with a parasympathetic response, with taking a deep breath, with relaxing, with movement, and with expansion. And then there's a biochemical response. The body goes into survival mode, alarm protein go up within seconds. The autonomic nervous system starts within a fraction of a second. Within a second, minutes, alarm proteins go up. One of the key ones I've researched for almost 30 years is called galectin-3. Mm-hmm. I made some of the important discoveries that blocking it can attenuate and help inflammation and fibrosis. So this protein is called to the help. It moves to tissues where the body is saying there is a problem. It brings with it inflammatory compound, sticky molecules, immune dysregulating molecule as part of trying to create a big response, a big fight, and then the problem, it doesn't turn off. So when we understand it, we say, wow, what helps us survive, literally does, actually makes us sick, because it affects every disease. And fibromyalgia is no different.
You know, I like the, I shouldn't use like, I find it enlightening that now that we have COVID and people are getting used to this whole cytokine storm, that's a conversation that people are having. So we have a little bit of understanding about how the body can release these proteins that are really can save our lives. But at the same time, if they continue to be released and never get turned off, they can create some problems. And this is what we see with COVID. And this is similar. This is a kind of a similar insight with the survival paradox that the body feels threatened. And that can be from different triggers. And because it feels threatened, it's turning on this reaction. But for whatever reason, it never turns off. And they get stuck. Yeah. And so I think that your paradigm really is a perfect fit, because with fibromyalgia, I remember years ago looking at surveys, and they would say, you know, what are the triggers for fibromyalgia? And 70% of the time, the people would come back and say, stress. And people hear that now. And I have to assure them that they're not a wimp or milquetoast or whatever. That when we say stress, we're talking about a deep level of stress underneath that's creating these biochemical dysfunction, the different systems, and creating the symptoms themselves.
Completely. And it's so accurate and important to really understand, because when we go into the survival mode, we are changing our metabolism into a survival mode from the point of view of energy production, from the point of view of staying alive. And in this sense, COVID made a great contribution. For me, it was, oh my God, finally, you know, I've been dealing with this for like 20 years before the COVID, and talking about a dysregulated immune system, showing that the main protein called Galactin 3, the one I've researched, drives all this cytokine storm. So the concept of survival is big. We are not the only ones who want to survive. The coronavirus wants to survive. So the spike protein of the coronavirus is almost identical to Galactin 3. It's the survival response of the virus. So when we have stress, we feel the stress in the body. So for example, in our gut, our microbiome feels the stress. And for example, spirochetes from Lyme, which are dormant, will wake up and infections will show up because everybody is feeling its stress. Everybody needs to survive compared to come into an harmonious dialogue. And this harmonious dialogue is key for fibromyalgia. This is why, for example, in my meditation and healing retreats, which I teach in the last 11 years, mainly in Israel, but I will start teaching more here. I used to teach here before, but I'm going to really do it. Fibromyalgia is the condition where people can transform 20 years of symptoms in 3-4 days. And one of the reasons, they let go of the stress. They let go of the underlying drivers for the stress, because stress has two components. Is one, what's coming our way, either externally or internally rises out of our being. And two, how we respond to the stress.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where we have a choice. And it's just remarkable to see how people suddenly shift and suddenly have energy, because one of the issues with fibromyalgia, one is there is inappropriate energy production, but two, we are using the energy as a protective mechanism. So if we have traumas, we have pockets of toxins that we don't want them to explode into the body, we can't handle it. We will keep them boxed, we'll keep them contained as part of our survival mechanism, and we'll take a lot of energy doing it. And some of it is physiological, biochemical, and some of it is associative, where we are functioning based on lifelong pattern or genetic and epigenetic behavioral pattern, and actual DNA effects pattern, which drives our response at the moment. And once we become fresher, once we are more at the moment, suddenly we have so much energy because we are not burning 90% of it trying to digest past events. And that's very, very big for fibromyalgia. It's a specific pattern, not all of them. And in this patient, it's amazing. Sometimes one acupuncture treatment done sophisticated and boom, because the person can come to the moment and actually they are spending 90% of their energy trying to deal with trauma. They have 10% for their day-to-day energy. Of course they have fibromyalgia. Because when you don't have enough energy, you have to go to glycolysis. You change your metabolism, you get lactic acid, you get lactic acid, you get acidosis, you get pain, you get trigger points, and then it becomes a vicious cycle, you know? So once suddenly the body gets more energy, oh my gosh, it's a celebration. Going to a place of safety, of normal metabolism. And in this sense, it's really important, the message with people with fibromyalgia, it's really a treatable condition that can be healed. I've had in my career some severe, maybe cases where people couldn't get out of bed, like for months, you know, for years. And these are harder to treat, but even these people can get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear you say that, because Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum and Neil Nathan and several other well-known physicians that are on here, including myself, firmly believe that this is a condition that you can overcome. I mean, it's a big part of that is finding and fixing the underlying causes that are creating these symptoms. But you can. I mean, it's doable. It's doable. And certainly with the kind of medicine that you practice, the functional medicine that we do. You mentioned genetics. Do you think that fibromyalgia runs in families? And do you think that this is a condition that starts early on?
So there is a familial tendency, definitely. Mm-hmm. And part of it relates to inefficient energy production. You know, it's very big, and that's one part. The other thing is that it can be behaviorally genetic and epigenetic. And so it passes on. But yes, you can see people, you know, who have fibromyalgia, and the children have fibromyalgia and the grandchildren. So we want to see what disrupts normal energy production. Because if everything flows normally, there's no fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is really a stuckness of energy and pain where it's not supposed to be. So there's an issue of flow. Yeah. And that's where the survival paradox becomes so important in addressing galactin 3 and using modified citrus pectin, pectosol, as a way to regulate this protein. But then we want to look deeper and want to see what disrupts my energy production. So it can be lack of nutrients, vitamins, minerals, you know, the different Bs, zinc, anyway, that's one category. It can be things that put us in a survival mode. So it can be different toxins. Mold toxins, you know, Neil Nathan probably talked about heavy metals, environmental toxins, and pesticides. Pesticide is huge. So all of this will disrupt normal metabolism. The moment we disrupt normal metabolism, we are opening ourselves to being sick. And which highway we take is based on our predisposition. Then we have the systemic effect. So if our gut is imbalanced, if our energy production is not good, and we disrupt the blood-brain barrier, and the brain becomes inflamed, then immediately when the brain becomes inflamed, when the brain is on fire, we become more sensitive to any stimulus, and we get more pain.
Yeah.
Right? Often we do. We have pain, and we meditate and relax, and the pain goes away. Not rare, right? How is it possible? Well, we go to a sense of parasympathetic, to safety, to spaciousness. More oxygen comes to the tissue. We have less lactic acidosis, less of factors like hypoxia inducing factors in the cell are screaming. The cell goes into a sense of safety. But also, the gut relaxes, the microbiome feels safer, our blood-brain barrier improves over time. We have less neural inflammation. Then we have less signaling that something is wrong. And it's amazing, Roger, how the brain is so sensitive. You know, small difference in insulin levels in the brain will change glucose metabolism so quickly systemically. Yeah. So, you know, we're at a place where metabolic diseases really are running us. You know, we have close to 100 million people with NAFLDS, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We got 17% of the population with chronic kidney disease from circulatory issues. So all of these triggers in certain population will drive fibromyalgia. The beauty is that when you remove this trigger, the disease will go away.
Yeah.
Because it's a functional disease, right? One moment it's more painful, one moment it's less painful. It's very different than let's say you have, which is also reversible, coronary artery disease when the artery is blocked. You got to find a way to scrape the atherosclerosis. Mm-hmm. Totally possible. Yeah. Totally possible, of course. Yeah. Definitely reversible. But here, the moment the function gets better, the person feels better. The moment they feel better, a cycle of improvement starts.
Yeah.
And over time, if people take a truly more balanced, holistic approach, then stress becomes less of a trigger.
Yeah.
Less, and then that's really the path. It's not that somebody with fibromyalgia and really now feels so much better will never have a symptom. But the moment that we have the symptom, our mind goes, oh, it's coming back. I know this. Now the next symptom will be this. And then the biochemistry starts changing. The cell goes into protection, survival. Metabolism goes down. When we say that metabolism shifts, when we move into a survival space, into survival responses, you know, well, we can produce energy 100 times faster. That's what we need to survive, for short-term survival. Right. Okay, you can't sprint for more than a minute or two. The cost is only 5 to 6% efficiency. 2 molecules of ATP to 1 glucose compared to 36. So 1/18. And the amount of substrate we need to use, because we're producing 100 times faster at 1/20th of the efficiency, is 2,000 times more. Glucose and whatever we're using in breaking protein, well, we're going to have a lot of byproducts. You know, when you cook in the kitchen, such big pots, you get a lot of stuff to throw away and wash. The body can't detoxify. The body gets stuck. It gets stuck. It goes into a crisis mode. So all these descriptions that may sound psychological, as you know from how I work, they translate into specific pathways in the cell. So we address fibromyalgia from the cell outward to the extracellular, to the organ, to the tissue, to the person. And we address fibromyalgia by changing our whole view, by changing our reactivity to a symptom. If we can change the reactivity to a symptom, we immediately create a biochemical response that is more healthy.
So early on, for a number of years, it's actually been quite some time, I've explained fibromyalgia where, and we know this, unfortunately, to be true, that a lot of these individuals have had a very stressful household as they grew up. So they could have had an illness as an adolescent. They could have had a dysfunctional house. There could have been, you know, some kind of verbal abuse or physical abuse, or they moved a lot. But they came from a fairly stressful situation. And as they got older, they lose their plasticity to stress. Something comes along that's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And then they can't really handle stress. So stress becomes magnified. And then it's this vicious cycle. The more stress they get under, the less they can tolerate it, the more stressed out they are. And I've always explained it is what we've got to do is lighten the load. We got to take away the different toxins or triggers, so we take that stress off the body. But now from what you've, you know, from what you've shared in your research, now what I'm seeing is, yeah, that's true. But what they're facing now, I think now, is this cell danger that they can't turn off. Maybe in the past, they could turn that off. But now as something's come along and they just can't turn it off. So next thing you know, as you mentioned, things that weren't bothering start to get activated. And that could be food allergies, or that could be, as you mentioned, toxicity to mold that never gave them any kind of problem. Or I've got a patient with arsenic in the water. She's been drinking it for a decade and not had any trouble, but all of a sudden, you know, that's what we kind of figured out what it is. So it's the body can't, when the body doesn't feel safe, and it goes into the survival paradox, not only does it drive inflammation, but as you've so eloquently outlined, it sabotages your energy. So it doesn't have the production to run the different systems in the body because the mitochondria are affected.
Yeah, it's so true. So it's really important for the listener to remember what you said. It's important to remove the toxins, but we really have to understand the underlying mechanism. And toxins, again, can be physical and can be toxic environment.
Yeah.
For example, when somebody moves from to different places, if you move from one place, which is your home, and you come back, you have a center. But when you move from different places, you lose your grounding. Mm. You lose your roots. You lose your safety. It's like, you know, it's like a tree bouncing. Everything changes you because you don't have the place where you get nourished, where you can let go. And so this is very important. It's a Chinese medicine where they will say it's a weakness of the earth element, of the nourishment. We don't get nourishment. We don't have good production of energy. So definitely. So in this sense, fibromyalgia doesn't come out of the blue and is in the process of getting over fibromyalgia offers an amazing healing opportunity. Mm-hmm. To really, as we shed the symptoms, can we shed the underlying stuckness, the underlying trauma, the underlying holding, and create a flow? And we can definitely. I know from my own personal experience, you know, I don't diagnose myself, but I had, I rarely don't have pain in my body now. Now I have very little, but I used to all my life. So it didn't affect my life. I still do things, I flow. So I don't have fibromyalgia, you know, it's not affecting me. It's I had a severe Lyme in my late 20s from a real tick infection. It took years until it went away, but I never even, I had a tick bite. I never checked even after the initial one. Why check? You move on, you're okay, you're healthy. So part of it is really recognizing that you actually have an issue that is legitimate, that is not in your head.
Right.
That should be acknowledged with an open heart, because it's people with fibromyalgia have suffering, have pain. And then recognizing that you got to let go of the identification with fibromyalgia so you can move on. And the survivor paradox contributes to all of it, because when we're in a survivor mode, we become alarmist. You know, so we over respond, we are reactive. So we respond outwardly, we get allergies. What is an allergy? It's an inappropriate response to something from the outside, food, smells, etc. Or we respond inwardly, develops autoimmunity. Yeah. And fibromyalgia sits in a relationship with this, both of these, right? Not in a direct way, but it touches all of these aspects.
Yeah.
So, and each person needs to find their own door to their journey to healing, but letting go is always a part of it. Letting go of the toxin, letting go of heavy metal, letting go of mycotoxin, letting go of preconceived ideas, letting go of traumas. And as we truly let go, it usually also will affect the people around us. It will create a whole environment of healing. And I think maybe that's why in meditation retreats you get such a profound healing, because there's a whole group holding each other. And we have to recognize that in our body, we have 50, I'm rounding up a little bit, not a lot, about 50 trillion cells that hold each other. Each of them has about 1 million reactions, 1 million a second. It's like insane. And we hold each other. There's a harmony. When we lose harmony, we get in trouble.
And I'm sure the audience is listening to this, and some of this is going over their head. It's okay. Get the big picture. And the big picture, I think, is being painted pretty clearly in that this whole survival paradox, this whole thing where the body feels threatened. And for years, I've explained, it makes sense too. I mean, for most of you watching this, because you know when you get under stress, you're likely to have a fibro flare. I see this with my patients all the time. I get them sleeping, they have less pain, they're doing great. And then they try to go do something they hadn't done maybe in a couple of years. And maybe they go out with friends and, you know, spend all day out shopping. And then they're in bed for 2 or 3 days because they still haven't turned off enough of that reaction, that galactin three. They hadn't turned it off enough. They just don't have enough. They don't have enough space enough, you know, to be able to handle this. And I've said in the past that, using this analogy, that we're all born with a stress coping savings account. And in that stress coping savings account, we have certain chemicals that allow us to deal with stress. So all day long, we're releasing these chemicals, whether that's pantothenic acid or magnesium or cortisol or DHA or serotonin, whatever it is to help us deal in that moment with the stress, these chemicals are being released. And at some point you can bankrupt those chemicals, then you become more vulnerable to stress. Now I'm having to change how I explain that, in that, yeah, I think you do develop these biochemical deficiencies, but you also have turned on this survival paradox.
Right.
And it's going to take some work to really get your body in your mind, you know, everything, to be able to feel safe again. And that can be removing toxins, but you've already mentioned meditation, some of these other things you can do to help to really tone down that overreacted sympathetic nervous system and help the parasympathetic nervous system come up so we can relax some of these reactions.
I want to revisit, because this is so important. So often, you know, we feel somebody has lack of certain B vitamins, certain minerals, but the lack is because they're overburning them, and they're overburning them because the metabolism is not efficient. It's not efficient because of abnormal pathways, because of the reasons you and I have been discussing. That's why what you are discussing here, what we are talking, is a deeper level of healing. It's a deeper level. Because once we change the habit of how we produce energy, we can suddenly handle stress. And it's very artful to know how much to add. One of the issues with people with fibromyalgia is that they will overextend their energy and then they're in bed for like a week. Yeah. So what happens, they went into a glycolysis energy process to be able to meet the demand. From a biochemical point of view, they created lactic acid, they created byproducts. They don't have a proper antioxidant system to clean up the mess, and they don't clear up, their detox systems are not good, just because innately MTHFR or different things, there are many of them, or they have toxins which are blocking the pathways, and then they get stuck in this place. So you have to slowly increase the capacity as a patient, and when you treat people, you know, just like when you exercise, you build up slowly. But also we have to try to work on it mentally, emotionally, psychologically, while we clear the different toxins. Because when you clear a toxin, for example, when you remove pesticide, and you know, I do a lot of work on removal of pesticides. So I've developed, you know, just so people can know, I developed the first, you know, and the only research-based blocker of galactin 3, modified citrus pectin. My opinion, the most important supplement someone can take, for good reason. But then I've been doing a lot of work on the removal of pesticides and toxins with a formula called glyphodetox. Because when all of us are bombarded with glyphosate, and from the point of view of fibromyalgia, when glyphosate disrupts nutrient absorption, when it disrupts the gut lining and creates leaky gut and macromolecules creating an immune response, when it disrupts the blood-brain barrier and allows molecules that are not supposed to get in to get into the brain, and when it activates glia cells, the macrophage of the brain, the immune cells that start the cleanup through inflammation, you get a vicious cycle in the brain. And the vicious cycle in the brain affects the body and the systemic system, and the systemic condition affects the brain. So that's why it's a package deal that we really have to address.
Yeah, you mentioned modified citrus pectin. So your product is Pectisol. Happy to mention that. I'm a big fan of it, big supporter of it. And this was research that really was kind of almost given to you by the universe. I mean, you had a next door neighbor, if I remember right, in the book, that was a scientist that was doing research on citrus. And and if, you know, at one point you said, you know, this is going to be something that's going to change medicine, and I think you've kind of forgot about it. And the next thing you know, you're researching modified citrus pectin as a way to turn off this galactin 3 and to help to break up some of these pentamers.
Yes.
And so this research, you know, came from Israel, and now, you know, into your medical practice. And now it's a big part of your best-selling book, certainly, and your ongoing research, and then your clinical practice, using this modified citrus pectin. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, of course. So I'm a native of Israel, and my neighbors were the key scientists in the citrus industry. So when the first, and Ruth Cohen, she's not alive anymore, in 1971, I was 12 years old, so you can calculate how old I am. We were walking to their house, and in the evening with my parents, and out of the blue, she turns to me and she says, "Isaac, one day they will find a treatment for cancer in the peel of the citrus fruit." So when the first research by Dr. Avram Raz came in JNCI, a very respected journal, that from the National Institute that you can prevent and slow down metastasis. I called her up from San Francisco. I told her, Ruth, I don't expect you to remember, but I remember what you told me 24 years ago. So she put me together with the main pectin developer and then started an amazing journey nobody expected, where we found out that it affects inflammation and fibrosis and helps to chelate heavy metals and regulates immune response. Really remarkable. How is it over 80 published papers and about 10,000 papers on galactin 3? How is it possible? Because it addresses such an upstream early factor that affects so many other factors. And that's why, while maybe 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't something I recommended to everybody, now it's the most important supplement. And if somebody has health issues, they need to take 15 grams a day. If somebody's in great health, 5 grams is enough. It can be combined with different treatments in different arenas. It's a great oncological nutritional support. We're doing this interview in early February, and in 2 weeks, I'm presenting our multi-center trial on modified citrus pectin on recurrent prostate cancer with remarkable results. So, but it's much bigger than cancer now. And so this is one area that I work. The other area which I work is, I am one of the disruptors, as you label them, of using therapeutic apheresis, filtration of the plasma for inflammatory conditions. And that's why I have an NIH grant, active NIH grant, large grant, to study the effects of removal of galactin 3 on sepsis and acute kidney injury. So that's my scientific and formulation part. But the other part is that when we connect with this place that causes us reactivity and we can transform it into responsiveness, connect with our heart, because our heart doesn't react. Every cell in the body decides what to take, what not to take. Every organ wants to be nourished. The heart accepts any dirty blood that comes from every organ, the heart accepts. It connects with the universe, right? It exchanges air. And from a fibromyalgia point of view, what is a drama for us, it's not a big deal for the universe. So it accepts our carbon dioxide, mm-hmm. It accepts our difficulties with an open heart, as long as we take care of the environment. Because global warming is inflammation on a global scale. So, and then it gives us clean air. We oxidate, we improve the blood, and then the heart just gives without discrimination. So when we move, so because we do it physiologically, Roger, it's easier to do it mentally and emotionally and spiritually compared to trying to change our habit of thinking all the time and being crowded in our head. So this effect, when the heart's energy changes, when the electromagnetic field of the heart becomes more harmonious and it gets to every cell in our body, it affects every cell in our body. It's critical for fibromyalgia. So the heart can send nourishment to every cell, but the cell and the tissue has to be willing to accept. And if they are contracted, if they are in a fear-based, if they are in a survival mode, they will not accept. They will shut down the circulation. They will create like a biofilm, a microenvironment. Galactin 3 will create this pentamer, that create a seal. And then suddenly, yeah, the heart is nourishing, but the cell is not accepting. Not accepting goes into acidosis, you get pain. Yeah. And so it's this beautiful dialogue, and the dialogue between the heart and our cells is an inner reflection of our dialogue with the outer world. It's exactly the same, it's just in different scale. Yeah. So part of being more tolerant and more understanding outwardly also comes into our own body. And if we become more tolerant outwardly to something we were not intolerant of, allergies go away. That's the definition of an allergy. If we become more tolerant to what's going inside our body, autoimmunity goes away. So that's the importance of these things. And today I touched a little bit on the biochemistry, but I really people want to understand the power of healing and how it's so relevant for fibromyalgia. Because people know they have a bad day and they have a good day. They just want to have more good days and less bad days. So it's a dynamic condition. And that's why it's completely can be transformed and you can heal from it.
So in Philip Stutz's book, The Tools. I don't know if you ever heard of that book, but he's a psychiatrist, well known in the celebrity world, but his best-selling book has been out for a number of years. But he talks about the heart is how you connect to higher power, right? Whatever you call that, the universe, right? God, however you want to call that.
Right.
So what you're sharing with us about the heart, how can we tap into that love, you know, that really can transform us from being a person that's living on the edge of fear and in survival mode? Is that meditation? I mean, I know your answer. We both meditate.
But it's not general. It's very specific. Yeah. My first book was going to be, I wrote it in Hebrew, and then the COVID came, so I put it on hold, and I wrote my second book, The Survival Paradox, which has some of the element. But my first book was, and it will come out, it's called Open Heart Medicine, The Infinite Healing Power of Love and Compassion. So there is very specific techniques to connect with the heart energy. And once you learn them, they're actually very quick to learn, because it's much harder. The mind always stops and thinks and analyzes and is skeptical. So it's very hard to create the mind to be spacious. The heart, it always flows. The moment it stops flowing, Roger, we are dead in 1 minute, you know?
Yeah.
So when we connect with this flow and we realize, wow, if the heart is taking all the stuff that the cells doesn't want, the heart is also getting all the negative energy from everybody. It's affecting us anyway. So instead of fighting it, we connect with the purification of it through the breath, and we transform it into nourishment, into love and compassion. So, and there's a process of forgiveness, of acceptance, of understanding. You know, so for example, in certain meditation schools of thought, let's say in Buddhist thought, they say that, you know, suffering is so inherent in us. So suffering causes us to behave in ways that hurt us and hurt others, right? We get upset and we do something. But suffering can also open our heart to ourselves when we are suffering and to others. And if you look at the heart gives blood without discrimination, meaning the aorta is a stiff artery, blood goes everywhere. And then the heart relaxes. The coronary arteries, which are outside the heart, open up, and the heart nourishes itself. That self-love is part of loving others. We are built to do this, which means that in every breath, in every contraction of the heart, there is power of healing. Now, why doesn't it happen right away? Because the body has habits, right? The habits translate into pathways, into circulation, into immune responses. It's multi-generational. And I write about it in my book, you know, in The Survival Paradox. I really think it's a book worthwhile reading, you know, because it really offers a different way of thinking and decades of my studies and experience. So when we can change this habit and the body keeps getting it again and again, slowly, slowly things change. Because if we can let go and clear our justified tendency to function based on past experience, because the body always does the best it wants. It can, always. So if we were in a real survivor danger when we were 5 years old, or our grandparents in the Holocaust, they reacted in a certain way. You know, my grandfather couldn't handle the fact that 10 out of his 10 siblings were killed by Hitler. Hmm. He couldn't stomach it, so he got stomach cancer when he was 50. And he couldn't talk about it, you know, because we were told about it only 50 years after he died, when my grandmother died. So he held it in his chest. So I was named after him. I had this bizarre chest pain. No matter how much yoga I did, it was bizarre. If I would touch here, it would be so painful. Now I feel nothing, no pain. It happened only a few years ago. It took me 50 years to get rid of it, you know. But when I healed, my mother was suddenly able to watch programs about the Holocaust without me telling her. This is a multi-generational healing, you know. I let go. There was a process of acceptance, forgiveness, and boom, symptom went away. Now I'm a little bit more trained in meditation, so you know, it's a little bit of a smoother approach. Took only 50 years. but instead of 70, maybe, but in any case, that's joking. In any case, that's the power of healing. So when we do medicine, when we take supplement, when we change our diet, and we bring this kind of understanding, the cell, you know, the cell takes a sigh of relief. Because we have to remember, in the book, I can't, people will read, they will see, I look at the cells as living beings because they have a boundary, the membrane, they have a production energy, the mitochondria, and they have a personality. They decide what comes in, what doesn't come in. So when the cell feels this sense of warmth, of being held, it can relax. Insulin receptors work better. Energy production works better. Macrophage can relax. There's no more inflammation in the extracellular space. The trigger point pain, the fibromyalgia pain is dissolving because the lymph system is draining it better. The pH is better. Oxygen is getting to the tissue. It's a true celebration, you know, of harmony and support. When the cell tries to rebel, when the cell feels threatened, it can create a microenvironment that can cause pain, or it can decide it has to survive on its own and it's at any cost. And that's how cancer cell develops, you know. So this, the survivor paradox is really an understanding of how we live our life. And the cell danger response is part of it. Very important. It's only a part of it.
So this is a lot of profound material. And I love it. I think it's great. You know, I have patients that that I will take care of, and they'll tell me in the beginning that, oh, I've, you know, I've been gluten-free, I've been vegan, I've been, you know, I work out every course. Not many of them say they work out every day, but they consider themselves healthy other than they have fibromyalgia. They don't know why they can't get to the next level. And I think what you share with the survival paradox is the reason why. For many of them, they just can't get to the next level. They're eating healthier, they're taking supplements that they, you know, they have deficiencies in, but they've not gotten that other piece of the puzzle, which is just to give them, to give their bodies the permission to not be under fear and feel right. threatened all the time. And that, you know, that takes some work to do that. But I want people to get your book. That's for sure. I love the book. Obviously, you can tell that. I recommend it to all my patients. I have all my patients reading the book. That's when you become a patient of mine, that's one of the few books I just send to you right away. Isaac, what's the best website for them to go to learn more about you and your work?
Best one is go to drelias.org, drelias.org. I have a high quality newsletter that comes out every week with the, I have a whole research team. And so then they can also find about, from there they can get to my clinic and to the different supplements and to my research. And my goal and hope is in the second part of 2023 to start offering some meditation and healing in the United States. I'm going to start with doing something for free on Zoom, just so people can experience what can happen in like 3-4 days, even on Zoom, as long as somebody takes the time and stays with the process. And and I think just people have to remember, fibromyalgia is a treatable condition. Yeah. And within improving fibromyalgia, there is a real opportunity to go through a profound healing.
Yeah. And this has been a real delight. Thank you. I've enjoyed this conversation. I'm sure the audience did. And I want to encourage you to check out Dr. Elias's website and certainly check out his book. Isaac, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.